I wouldn't be able, even if I tried, to summarize for you everything that has happened in the last 4.5 years since I came and spoke to you about Albania last. I know I visited you in between, but I think that was only to preach the Word of God during the interregnum rather than to speak specifically about Albania. So what I want to do is to summarize events that have happened in the last 2 years. And if you want to know what happened between 1987 and 1990, there's literature on the table at the back that will tell you. So you are not deprived of knowing this if it attracts your interest. It was in May of 1990 that unrest in the land of Albania spread to more towns than it had been reported in, at least in the Western press, earlier on. In May, we read of unrest in Durrës and Vlora, Korça and Elbasan, and also Shkodra. Now, Shkodra is right in the north. Vlora and Korça are in the southeast and southwest. It was a widespread movement of public unrest, and they were looking for two things. They wanted to be free from the oppression of communism, and they wanted to be free from being the poorest country in Europe. At least that is what people say of Albania. The communist system had been in operation since 1944, when Enver Hoxha, the dictator, had become the ruler after the departure of the occupying German forces towards the end of 1944. From our point of view, as religious people, well, I say religious rather than Christians, because this didn't only apply to Christians but to any religion, Jehovah's Witness, Jews, Muslims, Bektashis, Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, Evangelical. From our point of view, Albania was particularly oppressed from 1967 onwards, because they claimed to be the only atheist country in the world. And not the only one existing at that time, but the first one ever to have existed. There were no places of worship open at all. And you were not allowed to meet for religious fellowship in private in your home any more than in a public mosque or church or synagogue or whatever it might be. And that was enshrined in the constitution, and there was a criminal code which imposed imprisonment for religious agitation, and this system was ruthlessly put into practice. And people were saying, we do not want to be oppressed, and we are tired of a system which makes us the poorest country in Europe. It's not as if they needed to be poor. When you think that 3 miles away from Albania is the island of Corfu, and when you think how prosperous that place is, you can see how absurd it is that Albania should be poor. So there was widespread unrest. At government level, there was also the sense of a need for change, and they said that they wanted to join the Conference on Security and Cooperation in Europe. They were, up until then, the only country which didn't belong, because they believed that the other countries were compromising. And they said, we're never going to compromise our communism. But they said, all right, we will join. And they agreed to adopt all the 1975 Helsinki Accords, which included, of course, human rights. Now, amongst the changes which they announced in the wake of this decision to join the European Conference, I will mention two. One was that they would give every citizen the right to a passport. Now, prior to that, I had visited an Albanian farmer who lives about 0.5 mile from the border. And he used to help people escape. And he told me they don't all make it, because if the border guards see them, they get shot, some of them are killed. No doubt some would have been wounded and taken back, and the death penalty was assigned for flight from the state in the criminal code. They don't all make it. Now the government says every citizen can have the right to a passport. And they also said religious propaganda will no longer be a crime. This was in May 1990, just over 2 years ago. Religious propaganda will no longer be a crime. They said, we will not tolerate organized religious groups, but individual people with an individual belief in God can talk about it openly, and it will no longer be a crime. Well, at the end of May and early in June last year but one, 1990, Christian tourists went to Albania. They had heard the changes which the government had announced. And, of course, the Albanian citizens knew the changes which had been announced. So the Albanians looked out for the Westerners and saw them and approached them and said, have you got any scriptures that we can have? And the Westerners, having heard of the changes, had taken scriptures. And so they were able to begin to pass out a New Testament, or perhaps Bibles in English. They haven't yet got an Albanian Bible. And one man said to a chap I know, please come back to Albania again on holiday, and please bring a lot of New Testaments. We have a Bible study group where we want to study these things. In June of that year, the radio ministry also received much more encouragement. The radio ministry, that is to say, preaching the gospel over Transworld Radio, had begun in 1968, and by 1991, a letter had come from Albania, from a listener. It didn't say much, really. It simply said something like, please send me a tape recorder. However, it did say that someone was listening. In June of 1990, two listeners wrote. By the end of the year, 20. By the end of last year, 300. So we know now that there are hundreds of people who have been listening to the radio ministry. Now that there is freedom, we can go and visit them. And if they're in towns where there's a Bible study group or missionary, we can link them up. At least we're able to do some kind of follow-up. That summer, 2 years ago, was very significant because in July, 4,500 people crammed into foreign embassies. They started off by getting a large truck and smashing into the gates of the West German embassy. And this got into all the news throughout the world, I suppose. It was on our television day after day, and the world was watching. And there were about 4,500 to 5,000 in the end who were crammed into these embassies, and they said, we want to be out of Albania. Unrest was continuing in other towns. The government in Albania sacked several hardline communists and allowed 5,000 people to be evacuated to the west. You may remember seeing them going off to Italy mainly. That was 5,000. By March, 10 times that number had left. Then they made another very symbolic gesture, government. They removed Joseph Stalin's statue in the town of Shkodra. Joseph Stalin was the man who used to rule the Soviet Union, one of the greatest mass murderers in the course of human history. Purges, mock trials, executions, labour camps, prisons. The Albanian authorities had watched him and said, that man knows how to run a country. We want to be like him. And now they removed his statue. great symbol of their intention to change. Well, that was in the summer, 2 years ago, and then everything seemed to go quiet. We thought things were really going to happen. We were getting quite excited because it seemed as if now at last there were going to be wonderful changes, but it seemed as if the letting of the people go was enough to calm it down for a while, and nothing seemed to happen until November. And then in November, there was a report in the Independent newspaper, and it said that 5,000 Roman Catholics had attended a public mass in Shtodra. There was also a report in the Daily Telegraph, and it said that 5,000 Roman Catholics and Muslims had reopened a church and a mosque in Shtodra. It doesn't matter which of the papers got it right. The fact of the matter is that 5,000 people took part in some kind of public worship of the gods that they believed in, and that was in the only atheist state in the world, with an atheist constitution and laws against religious agitation. Now, that was a very important beginning. It was followed up a month or two later when a mosque was reopened in the main square in Tirana, the mosque of FM Bay, and at that meeting 15,000 people gathered. Now, I don't want people to become Roman Catholics or Muslims, because I believe that those religions are different from the religion that we find in the Bible. But I do want there to be religious freedom. I want Roman Catholics, Muslims, Congregationalists, and anyone else to be free to preach the religion they believe in. I believe that when that happens, those who are preaching the gospel will find that the Lord gives fruit for their labours. On the political front, they were allowed that same winter in December to form a new political party, the Democratic Party. Now, the communists used to put up their candidates for the elections year by year, and they always used to win because there were no other parties legally permitted to exist. And somewhat ridiculously, the communists always used to boast that they had won with a very large percentage of the vote. Easy enough if everything else is illegal. But now, that farce began to be unravelled, and they allowed a democratic party to be formed. That party is now ruling Albania. But more of that later on. The unrest continued because obviously people saw the changes and they wanted more. There were 12,000 students in that winter involved in demonstrations. And then the demonstrations got violent, and the troops and police had to battle with demonstrators. Some people who were arrested were given up to 20 years imprisonment for taking part. In one political rally, for example, in February of last year, there were 10,000 people present. It got so out of hand that the riot police had to intervene. That was at Burrell. A couple of weeks later, they had to put armed soldiers on the streets in Tirana to patrol the city. Tirana's the capital. A few days after that, there were awfully angry crowds surging in the main square of the capital, where that mosque had been reopened. But now what they did, and this got onto our television screens, the news of that day, they pulled down the enormous statue of Enver Hoxha. He was the dictator who ruled from 1944 to 1985. They pulled it down and they destroyed it in their anger. And in other towns also, busts and statues of Hoxha were destroyed. But it was a risky time. It could have gone worse and worse, and they had to put tanks on the streets in order to try to bring some kind of peace to that city. And the following day, they had to open fire to disperse the crowds. There were more than 20,000 gathered. The crowds attacked bookshops and they began to burn publicly huge piles of Enver Hoxha's works. Now, we've seen that sort of thing happen in our own lifetimes, some of us. In Nazi Germany, you had public burning of books. Very ugly event. In our own country, we've had the Muslims, in their fanatical hatred, burning a book they disapprove of. And although it's nice to see Enver Hoxha's works not wanted, I don't want to see this intense public anger and hatred, because it can become very ugly. The devil can get in on the act, and it can get quite out of hand. The following day, in the demonstrations, four people died in the shooting which had to take place to quell it, and 50 more people were arrested. So many people were leaving the country that they closed all the railway stations in March last year, so that people couldn't get so easily to the border zone. And the main port, which is Durrës, they put under military control. They had to close down the university because it was such a centre of resistance. And then at the end of March, the 31st, last year, there came elections. The parliament had 250 seats, and all this unrest made us hope that now at last the communist system would be swept away. Much prayer was going up. Indeed, there have been prayer meetings in this country for Albania regularly since 1976. So there was, in fact, 15 years of prayer behind these elections in one sense. And the townspeople voted solidly for the democratic opposition to become a government. The country people didn't want change or were afraid of it, and they voted solidly for the communists to stay in power. Now, there are more country people than townspeople, and the communists won with a two-thirds majority. And we thought, are they going to go back now that they've got a real mandate, not this absurd farcical business of only allowing themselves to exist and then boasting that they've won? Now they had won in a real election. Will they go back to being hardline? And we wondered. And we continued in prayer, and I hope that you will continue in prayer for Albania. Well, the townspeople said, we are not having this. We will not have this government. And in Shkodra, they set fire to the communist headquarters. And in that event, three people were killed. And then they initiated a general strike, and it went on for about 3 weeks, and the country was brought to a standstill. And on the 4th of June last year, that's 1 year and 3 days ago, 1 year and 3 days ago, the communist government stepped down. At the end of that 3 week general strike, they said, we can't control this country, it's gone out of hand. We stepped down. It was the last of the communist regimes in Eastern Europe come to an end. They had said, we'll never change. Now they had to. Their place was taken by a coalition of Democrats and communists, which lasted a few months. But the communist regime left a ruined land. Disease is to be seen everywhere. People with a sort of disease you easily notice, you know, the terrible eyes, squints, great big sores on their faces, bandy legs, clubbed feet, the sort of thing you notice easily. The hospitals are desperately short of medicine and even of sheets to go on the beds. There are shortages of virtually everything, food, clothing, household goods, raw materials for the factories. Many of the factories are idle. The fields and orchards are being left untended. There's chaos. There's beggars all over the place. And an enormous sense of hopelessness. The problems of that country are so big that people don't know what to do to start putting it right. And so they feel paralysed in their hopelessness, and they end up doing nothing, many of them. And in that situation, violence and lawlessness have broken out. Lorries taking aid are attacked and looted. Amongst themselves, people are turning to rape, mugging, murder, blood feud. looting of shops, aid warehouses, factories. The communist system has left a ruined land, and the Prime Minister resigned in December. The Democratic Party left the coalition, it fell apart, an interim government was established without really much authority or experience. Until the 22nd of March this year. And this time the Democrats won. And they had a 62% majority. Now they're trying to bring some kind of order into that chaos. To impose law and order, to attract investment, and to start getting the people back to work and to get the country back on its feet. And also, of course, they need, from our point of view, to maintain the religious freedom that's been granted. One thing I want you to do, therefore, is to pray for that government. Let me read to you again what I read from the scriptures. I exhort that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all that are in authority. In Albania, that means the government there, led by Sali Berisha. Why do we have to make supplications and prayers and intercessions for all that are in authority? The answer is in the next part of the verse. It's verse 2 of 1 Timothy 2. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We, of course, is the Christians, and if the Christians are going to lead quiet and peaceable lives in Albania, get on with their life, their family living, their Christian witness, their church fellowship, they're going to do that in peace, quietness. They need a government that will create the situation that makes that possible, and that's where you come in. You can pray for that government, that it will be given wisdom from God, even if its members are not Christians. That makes no difference. God can overrule the affairs of the nations. Pray that his hand will be on that nation. And then, what about gospel work? Well, once the communist system fell down, it became possible for missionaries to go in and to preach openly, to distribute as much literature as they could take, to hire rooms for public preaching. The church in Korcha had been there. It was the only evangelical church from 1887, but it had almost maintained its existence. That is now re-established. It had only two elderly men left at the end of the persecution, but it now has anything up to 200 every week in its congregation. God is blessing. There's a small number of towns with resident missionaries. There aren't any Albanian workers yet because they've only known the Lord for a few weeks and months. That will come. At the moment, the work is being led by foreigners. A small number of towns, there are Bible study groups, or there are established congregations now. I would ask you, therefore, to pray that the work that is being done in the Lord's name in that land will enjoy the blessing of God. That people will be converted, built up in their faith, that they may enjoy their walk with Christ and make him known to others. Now, so far I've asked two prayers, haven't I? Pray for the government, that it will create a stable society. Pray for the gospel work, that it will enjoy the power and blessing of God. And now a third one. You know that the Lord Jesus lifted up his eyes and he looked and he said, the fields are white unto harvest, but the labourers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he may send out labourers. We're the only mission which specialises only in bringing the gospel to the Albanian people. And we only have 3 full-time missionaries in the land. There are 1 or 2 others in the pipeline, but at the moment there are only 3 on the field. We are grateful to God for the wider missions to the communist world or the Muslim world or to Europe that also take an interest. But the labourers are few. Please, will you pray now and always? that God will send us more labourers. We would love to be able to put 2 missionaries in every town in Albania, except those which are suitably serviced by others. So please pray for more labourers to come. Well, I hope therefore that I've been able to put the situation to you in a factual way, but also leave you with, if the Lord is pleased to bless what I've said, a spiritual burden also to pray for that land, its national life, and the work of the gospel in it. Let us have a word of prayer now before we continue the service. Our Heavenly Father, we have thought of this land of Albania, and now that we have a better understanding of the situation, we pray for the government, and especially for Sali Berisha, who leads it, that he and the others with him may be given your wisdom in bringing stability and prosperity to that land, and in creating a stable and peaceful society. We pray, Father, for the work that is being done in your name in those small number of towns, Saranda and Kruja and Korcha and Tirana, perhaps one or two others. Lord, bless it with your power that true gospel churches may be lastingly established. And we do beg you, Lord, to call more workers to go forth and preach Christ according to the scriptures as he is presented in them in that land. As we prayed earlier, Lord, so we pray again now that we know better. If you call us, give us the heart and the will to obey in giving or praying or going. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.